الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: وأن هذا صراطي مستقيما فاتبعوه ولا تتبعوا السبل فتفرق بكم عن سبيله ذلكم وصاكم به لعلكم تتقون. صدق الله العظيم. Respected brothers and elders, Hazrat Tufail ibn Amr al-Dawsi radiyallahu anhu had just arrived in Makkah Mukarrama, being the leader of the tribe of those. He was looked up in high respect and esteem. People would go and receive him. But they want him, see, you're coming to Makkah Mukarrama, and there is a man who is a magician. He can enchant you, he can trick you with his magic. Perhaps he's a poet, his poetry will affect you. So just be very careful about this person. And they went on and on and on with him, until he says that I was so overwhelmed that I stuffed my ears with cotton wool. Then as I approached the Baytullah, and I saw Hazrat Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the man they've been warning me about, and the man that they had been frightening me about, I thought to myself, after all, I am a man. I've been blessed with the ability to understand, to discern, to reason. When I've got that ability to discern, to understand, then what's wrong if I listen to the man? If it is magic, I'll make it out. If it's just poetry, then I can differentiate. But give the man a fair chance. Let's listen to him with a clear mind, without any preconceived notion. Let's listen to him. And I approached, and then I had to hear Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was the first time that I heard something like this. I made out that this was not man-made. It was definitely from Allah Ta'ala. It was an inspiration, it was a revelation, but nothing to do with a man-made thing. Walid ibn Mughira is also one of the leaders of the Quraysh. So he heard Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reciting the Quran Sharif. And he says, إِنَّ لَهُ لَحَلَاوَةٌ وَإِنَّ عَلَيْهِ لَطَلَاوَةٌ. It's got a strange, unique sweetness and an attraction. وَإِنَّ أَصْلَهُ لَمُورِقٌ. This root will form into a trunk, and then it's going to branch out with a lot of leaves and shade. And وَإِنَّ أَصْلَهُ لَمُسْمِرٌ. It's also going to bear fruit. And وَمَا هُوَ بِقَوْلِ بَشَرٌ. It's not man-made. This is definitely words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these people were frightened, were warned, and this machinery of turning people away from Islam is nothing new. It was and will remain. if there is a group and there is a jamaat that is attracting people, turning people to Allah Ta'ala, then parallel to this jamaat, there must be a group that is working opposite, in the opposite end. If there is an Adam alayhi salam, there must be a shaitan. If there is a Pharaoh, there must be Musa alayhi salam. So this type of a confrontation, a clash must be there. Within our bodies, if you've got negative, then you've got the positive, one type of cells, negative, then the other type of cells that are positive. So this opposite forces will continue. And they will come in different forms. They don't have to come in one simple, straightforward form. They may come sometimes through the media. That is the most powerful weapon they have got presently, the media and education. Under the pretexts of education and media, they can turn the mind around. Man was thinking so straight and easy and positive, and they can just distract the mind. And they do it, and they do it so easily. Like, you know, if any person, any normal person has to hear about a bomb blast, the first thing that his mind will go towards is there is a Muslim behind it, the terrorist behind it. When you hear the word terrorist, then it's synonymous with Muslim. So the way the media has played the role, that they turned and indoctrinated the mind, brainwashed the mind completely, into thinking that no, it is a Muslim behind it. And then the media does its work. If it is, for example, a crime committed by a Christian, they will just say that Mr. John did this. That's all. But if it was a Muslim that was involved, they'll make it a point, Mr. Yusuf, and he's a Muslim, he attends this masjid and he's committed the crime. So somehow they will try and give that impression that it is Islam and Muslim that is behind it. But when you look at it proportionately, crime, terrorism, etc., then out of 100 people, 99 will be non-Muslims, 1% will be Muslim. So that's the proportion. But they will give this type of an impression that the terrorism, the overwhelming element is the Muslim. And then the public is reading it, they are being educated and tutored in this type of colleges and universities. Over a period of time, then you're indoctrinated, you're already brainwashed, and you will think definitely. Then the man thinks to himself, but why? Why was I a Muslim? So you begin to have doubts, apprehensive, you become suspicious about your faith, and then they are winning, they are scoring. So this is the point that they want to bring you to. They want you to become suspicion. They want you to become suspicious. They want you to lose hope in Islam. Brings a level of despondency and depression in you. And when they got you at this level, then they can manipulate you as they want. Then they can take you to Darwinism, the one ism, or the other ism. They can just manipulate. So this is the point that they wish to bring you at, but this is how they do it. If they're not doing it with weapons, then they're doing it with media and the pretexts of education. So this machinery will carry on all the time. It's nothing new. It's from the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. In fact, before Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, if there was a good force, then there was a bad force as well. Now, within all this struggle, it is our duty to see and look for the right. Where's the right? Where's the wrong? Where's the right? Where's the wrong? So the wrongs will come basically in about three pretexts, right? Three fronts you will have. Sometimes the wrong and the obstruction is within the mind. I want to do something good. Now you are sitting here perhaps, and there will be many people that will be thinking, you know, it's about time I changed my life. I became a better person. The dandas that I'm doing, it's not right. You know, I'm too materialistic. I need to become more conscious of Allah Ta'ala. I'm aging now, over 60 now, and I need to become more conscious about myself, of deen, and I'm going to start now. So your mind is inspired with the right type of thought. But then when that inspiration comes, then you don't give it a fair chance. Then it's being stormed with different thoughts. Yeah, but what about the wife? What about the children? What about the future? And what's going to happen to them? And what provisions have I made for them? Or what about the rainy day? You know, life is a reality. So how am I going to face up to this reality? And what are the children and the wife going to say if I don't leave anything behind for them? All these type of negative thoughts will play off and they will storm your mind, and the good inspiration that you had initially, that is going to be smashed down, so it's going to be suppressed. One person came up to one saintly person. He says, "Now I want to change my life, I want to correct my life. So I want you to be my mentor and for you to guide me, take me along this path. Because if I'm going to go on this path myself and apply my own reasoning, my reasoning may just take me off. Because for every reasoning there's a counter reasoning. There's a reasoning, there's a counter reasoning. And it's not difficult to find the counter reasoning. Allah Ta'ala instructed Shaitan to bow down. So he found a counter reasoning. And he says, "Ana khair, Allah Ta'ala, you need to recheck this command that you have issued, that I must bow down. You need to review this. I am superior. I am made of fire. Ana khair, khalaqtani min nar. He is inferior, he is made of dust. Supposed to be the other way around." So he also found a counter reasoning. So to find a counter reasoning is not an indication of intelligence, is not an indication that you are right. If he was right, then Shaitan would have been right. So the mind then storms you. This thought, and another thought, and a different thought. So he comes to the saintly person, he says, "You know, it's about time now that I need to correct my life. But what do I do and how do I start off? Because I'm going to do it myself, I know there'll be a good thought and there'll be a counter. There'll be counted. A good thought and there'll be something to counter that thought. Then how do I manage?" One person is leaving for Hajj, you see. In the old days, perhaps he's living somewhere in the far east and he has to come to Makkah Mukarramah for Hajj, approximately 3,000 or 4,000 kilometers, India or something. From there he has to come for Hajj. So he thinks to himself, "You know what, I need to undertake this journey and I've got a young daughter, 15, 16 years of age, and it won't be appropriate for her to be accompanying me on this journey. Young, someone can do something to her, she can be misused, so rather I keep her at home and I continue. But then if I keep her at home, I don't have any family, and how and who is going to take care?" So he sees, looks into the masjid, alright, I can see one pious person is very much committed to his ibadat and akhirat, etc. I will entrust my daughter to this person here, he will take care. Man initially objected, no, you know, it's not the right move. He said, no, I trust you and I think you should be doing this. But now this person was becoming pious but of his own. And he was overconfident of himself. Now, I cannot slip into any wrong. So with the overconfident attitude, he took on this responsibility that I will take care of this young girl, 15, 16 years of age. Kept her in one part of the house. Shaitan is not dead, the nafs is not dead. And Shaitan won't die, just before Qiyamah will die. Anzirni ila yawmi yubathun innaka minal munzarin ala batulim. Alright, we'll spare you. So before Qiyamah you will be still around. The nafs also isn't dead. If someone thinks that the nafs is dead, he is dead. Nafs is not dead. Nafs is active, no matter how pious you are. So to control and to guide the nafs, therefore you need to have a mentor, a sheikh. Now what do I do? Sometimes you need him every day, telephonically, email, whichever way. Sometimes once in a week, sometimes once in a month. But genuinely you need the person. You know what's your intentions like. Sometimes your intentions are flawed. Sometimes you may be thinking and doing the right thing. But with careful scrutiny you begin to understand, no, my reasoning was flawed. There was some sinister intention within the whole makeup. I thought I was doing right. One woman phoned up from Cape Town. She says, "You know, I need to take my husband to court." "Why?" "So, you know, he's not paying up the maintenance for his children. We are divorced, we are separated, and he's supposed to be taking care of them, and he's not taking care." I said, "Ben, are you managing?" She said, "I'm managing." "But then why do you insist that you want to take him to court? See how the reasoning and the counter reasoning, how it works." So she says, and she was a girl that was an alima, she learned some kitabs and all that. So she says, "No, I'm going to take him to court, because if he's not going to do the maintenance, he'll become sinful, he'll become gunegar. When he becomes gunegar, then he'll be answerable on the day of Qiyamah. So I'm going to save him from the azab on the day of Qiyamah, therefore I'm taking him to court. But you see the reasoning and the counter-reasoning, how it works. He's an alimah, so he's thinking like that. So I told that girl, see Ben, there's two ways to look at it, right? One way is like how you are looking at it, and one way is you are managing comfortably, making maaf. If you made him maaf, Allah will also make him maaf. So what's the big deal about the whole thing? So no, I didn't think about it like that. So when there's a thinking, there is a counter reasoning. There's a thinking, there's a counter reasoning, and you don't understand that sometimes you're putting yourself into a big mess. And maybe 10 years, 15 years, 20 years later, you discover, hey, I made a mistake. But therefore they say, you know, have someone. Have someone. Normally this thing works by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah has instituted this type of a system of shura, wa amrum shura bainahum. And it came from Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then passed on to the khulafa and so forth and so on. So there is some type of direction and security in this. You will listen, and because you are following the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam in conforming to the shura system, although it's called piri, muridi, whatever, but you are conforming to a shura system, so therefore you are secured. وَلَا خَابَ مَنِ اسْتَشَارَ. You made mashwara, so you're not going to go off. You made mashwara, so you're not going to go off. Like I said, there's a reasoning and there's a counter-reasoning. As Muatthami Sahib Rahmatullah says, that, you know, I was in for another house. I needed the second house, second dwelling for myself, for some reason, whatever the reason may have been. And I needed that house to be just adjacent to my old house. I was making dua for it, and in a few weeks or a few days, the house next door became available. So the man that was selling the house, he came up to me and he says, you know, I've just secured a job in Delhi. Thanabon is like a village, so a professional person won't find a job here, because it's a small little village, 100 kilometers away from the town, so you'll have to go to town to get a good job if you're a professional person. You'll be appreciated there, you can't be appreciated here, there's no hospital, etc. So are you going to be appreciated here? So I need to move up to Delhi, and I've secured the job, I need to move up. Salary is very, very, very lucrative, very handsome, so I'll either move up. And I'm going to move up, then what's the point of keeping this house? Let me sell up and move on. Now I came to you to ask, to find out whether this move that I'm making, is that the right move or it's a wrong move? Now just look at the whole context. Maulana is desperate for a house. This man of his own comes up to Maulana asking for mashwara, right? Al-mustasharu mu'tamanun. When someone has consulted you, he consulted you in all trust. So, fal yushir bima huwa sani umli nafsimus. Tell him in all honesty what is best. Don't you guide him towards the thing that is to your convenience and advantage. Now you see how, what a delicate thing this is. He's come to ask you, he's come to consult you, so not to your advantage. Look to his advantage. If Maulana had been looking towards his advantage, so you see, this is from Allah Ta'ala, I've been making dua, I was desperate, and I didn't ask the person, he came himself to offer me the house. He would have reasoned in this manner, making the whole thing convenient for himself. See this reasoning and counter-reasoning, how it works, and how shaitan puts the spanners in the works. In the meanwhile, you will give a reasoning and say, no, see, from Allah Pak. He came to me, so Allah Pak sent me, I was making dua, Allah Pak answered my dua. So it will seem as though you are very, very honest about the whole thing, you're not guilty at all. Maulana thought for a moment and then he says, no, I don't think that's an appropriate thing for you to be selling up. What's the reason? So the reason is, you see, many a times you're taking up a new job, and after a year or 2 years you discover that it wasn't the better thing for yourself. Now, when you discovered that it was not a better thing for yourself, now you need to come back to the home and take your time to look for another job. In the meanwhile, you have sold out here. And you are there, right? So you're not in your home, you're not out of your home. So where are you now? You're in the lurch. But if you had this home, yeah, if that work was not right for some reason, or you fell ill, you need to recuperate, etc., whatever the case may have been, but you got an alternative, you got something to fall back on. Okay. Now look at this story here, and look at another story. One person outwardly seems to be very pious, beard everything. So he is bragging about the wealth, very, very wealthy. Now, presently, I think he's a multi-billionaire, right? Somewhere in Joburg. So he met up with me one day. But outwardly, seems very pious. So of his own, now he had to impress upon me about wealth. Now, wealth, one is to have it. But you don't feel the satisfaction until you don't impress others about, you know, got this. And they say, no, Mullah, I just want your du'as, nothing else. But you can see, you can read between the lines what the man is up to. He wants to impress. So, he said, but you know how this wealth came? He said, yeah, no. Alright, shame, if there's something to learn, I'll learn. She said, you know, my grandfather, there was a property going for auction, right? It's being auctioned. And my grandfather's one friend came up to consult with him by, is it the right thing for me to buy this? Now, my grandfather checked it up and he misled the person saying, no, this is not the right thing to buy. So, he cancelled his intention. In the meanwhile, my grandfather went up and he bought the thing. And he didn't look backwards after him. Just escalated. From a millionaire, billionaire, he just carried on. And now this thing has been passed on to me. I ask you, is this honesty or dishonesty? I saw the man's life, but I saw him in so much of trouble, problems, fights, health issues, running from pillar to post, tawis, and what. Whole rigmarole. See, it comes with a price. We do this type of dishonest things, but we don't realize that there is a khaliq, there is a malik behind the whole thing. And everything you have to pay a price for it. What we think, I got the figure, so I got everything. This is what the projections were. And according to the projections, I got it. Not realizing that you will have to pay an expensive price for it. One person explained. He was in a property market. He needed to buy a property. So his friends, family told him, don't go to the bank, please. They call it Islamic financing, whatever it is, but don't do it. Because this is disaster. So no, but Islamic. Okay, don't do it for the sake of Allah, don't do it. This is a disaster. You are opening up a can of worms. It's pure interest. And everybody is saying everything is Islamic. Anybody and everybody, whether they got the right guidance or the wrong guidance, but everything is becoming Islamic. Just to sell the commodity, we'll have to sell our deen, say Islamic. So he says, no, you buy this thing. Bank offered him the money. I made a fantastic deal. So I got the money, I got the facility from the bank, bought that thing on interest, whatever. My friends, my brothers, everybody said, you are asking for fights, you are asking for a problem. Anyway, I didn't listen to them, I bought the thing. 1.5 million, whatever he bought it for. And in a year or 2 years, the thing escalated to about 3 million. Now I'm explaining to my brother, you told me that this is disaster, you're asking for trouble, and from 1.5 million, the thing just escalated to 3 million. So you've been misleading me. Anyways, brother explained me for the second time, I don't do this thing yet, this is problem, you're asking for problems. I still didn't listen. In another 2 years, the thing went to about 5 million. From 1 million to 3 to 5. In another 3-4 years, the thing went up to 12 million. From just imagine from 1.5 million escalating 1, 2, 3, right to 12. Right. Now I realize at this point what they were explaining, advising me that was right. It was a disaster because I got 2 children. Right. One became a druggist, one girl went to drugs and selling a body. With all the money, I'm a multi-billion, I got so much, but she's selling a body. And the other one, I made her a legal advisor. And she's taking me to court. Somehow I made her signature, she's taking all my money away. I thought I was doing a wise thing, but you see, we plan, and Allah Ta'ala is the best of planners. But just that the plan of Allah Ta'ala is very discreet, we can't see it. And because we can't see it, therefore we don't want to believe in it. But it is like that fisherman that is casting the rod, right? And when the fish has bitten onto the bait, then he gives it a little bit of play. The fish thing, what a wonderful thing. I got the bait, and I got the freedom. He doesn't realize it's just, وَأُمْلِي لَهُمْ إِنَّ كَيْدِي مَتِينَ. It's just a little bit of respite, what a little bit of play. Just now Allah Ta'ala will reel you in. A little bit of respite we've got. For the little respite that we have got, we become so boastful, overconfident. So this person we're talking about, he has gone to the sheikh, the mentor. See, I got a problem and I need to get myself right. I'm aging. If I'm going to leave it to myself, there's going to be a reasoning and there's going to be a counter-reasoning. We're talking to you about the person who's going for Hajj and he assigned his daughter to that so-called pious person. So he kept her in the side of the house and he used to send her food. In those days, you're talking of a journey right from India, 4,000-5,000 kilometers away from the Haram Sharif. So you can ask at least about a year, you know. It takes you so long to go, then the Hajj, then going to Medina, from the Medina coming back, and then coming back to India, wherever it is. So many thousand kilometers, going back, horseback, whatever. So it's going to take you so long. Now, the man start passing the food initially. After some weeks, and he says, you know, but it's going to be very rude of me not even to talk to this woman. Perhaps you get into a depression. So now, you see, the shaitan is working his mind. What if I just say, Ben, how are you? Is anything? Can I be of any service to you? Do you need to see a physician, whatever? So now the shaitan is working on him. Now, initially he just went, started just talking to her. Now there's a little bit of a communication that built up. As the communication built up, so he says, but you know, it's totally not good manners that if I don't see her, I don't talk to her, how she feel? I'm a person, I'm a man, she's a human being. If I don't talk to her, I don't see her face to face, how is she going to take it? You know, and when her father is going to be away for another 8-9 months or 10 months, and how is he going to take it? You know? So now they remove the screen and they start talking face to face. Aankhe aankhe se ishare ho gaye, hum tumhare tum hamare ho gaye. So indications are made up, see, where the eye contact starts off. This is where all the haram starts off. It's the eye contact, voice contact, and eye contact. One person, one student, came to me complaining, well, you know what, I can't get my tahajjud right. So, and my father also, I'm getting it, just making it for the takbir of Allah, just making it. So tell me something that I'll hold on to it, and inshallah Allah will bless me. I said, all I tell you, in this age, look after your tongue, and look after your eyes. Just that. But how it relates? I said, by this, listen, if you listen to me, just take this on and move on. Listen, take care of your eyes and your tongue, but religiously, rigidly. Things that doesn't concern you, or things that can lead to a sin, just move away from the discussion. Not passive contribution and participation, and not active participation. Both. One is, you know, active participation, one is passive. One is to talk, and one is to listen. Same. Comes out to the same. So you don't participate, it's wrong, it's wrong. You know, alright, we're going to be talking about one person. In a few minutes time, then it will just turn out a little bit of rebirth. Yeah, but you guys don't know about him. Allah Pak forgive us all. When you said Allah Pak forgive us all, you said it all, everything you said it. You know, you made the rebirth of the person, but very, very sophisticated. Said, Allah Pak forgive us all, you are good. So, take good care of your tongue and your eyes. So he came to me about last month. Well, I said, from that time till now, alhamdulillah, my tahajjud is on. A little bit now and then I make 8 rakats, but sometimes I make 4 rakats, but I'm getting it. But there is a connection, the eyes and the tongue. There is a definite connection. If you want things to work out, then just take care of these things. And you want everything to just fail, then just lose the control of the eye and lose the control of the tongue, and you see everything begins to slip. You can't say, no, I'm an open speaker, I just say what I want. But your tongue doesn't belong to you. If it belongs to you, you've got the right to do what you want and say what you want. But when it doesn't belong to you, then use it like how the master wants it. How he wants it, you will use it accordingly. Eyes doesn't belong to you. So now his nafs had the better over him. So first he began to communicate with the screen. And now there's a direct communication. And after the direct communication, you know, I can't resist now. And one thing led to the other, and then he was over. Went the full way, did what he was not supposed to be doing. Before he knew it, this girl was pregnant, she delivered a child. When she delivered the child, now he's shaken up, he doesn't know what to do. He killed the child, he killed the girl, both, and he buried them. In the meanwhile, man came back from Hajj. One year, when women, this year everything happened. Man felt a little bit suspicious when he heard this story. He commissioned the police and all that, they made an inquiry. The police just need to have a little bit of a blood stain, and they can trace the whole thing on. All things they can trace it. They found it, and they found that the body was buried there. Now he's waiting to be executed, and he said, you see, I didn't have a sheikh, I didn't have anybody to consult, I was making my own decisions, now it brought me to this point, I can't reverse. So anyway, this person goes up to the sheikh and he says, you know what, now it's about time. I've been playing mental, intellectual games with my mind. Intellectual gymnastics. Been playing with it all the time. I think I had enough of it now. Now, this is a different path. It's a path going to Allah Ta'ala. And like this world has been designed, that for everything you need someone to guide you. When you become an architect, then you need someone. Doctor, then you need someone. Hafizab, then you need someone to guide you. Then this cannot be an exception. I need someone to take me to Allah Ta'ala. He must know the road, I must have the confidence, and I must be compatible with the person that I need. So to delay it now, at this age of my life, already over so many years now, I've seen so much of life, and then to be delaying it, then this is folly, stupidity. So he goes up to one sheikh and he says, you know what, now it's about time, I must be serious. I made money, enough now, enough is enough. One shop to another shop and three, third shop and the fourth shop. It will come to a point where I own the whole world, and then what? Then I still have to hit the grave. Whether I own half the world or full world, but I still have to go into the grave. And I still have to leave everything. You know, sometimes you become so boastful, you know. On my table, there's 30 varieties. You eat so much of the earth. This from America, this from Japan, and this from here. But the earth says, all right, you are so boastful about yourself that you eat 30 different varieties. I will eat you up in a single morsel. You took 60 years, 70 years, 90 years to eat me. In a single morsel, I will finish you. That's the earth. So he went up to the sheikh and he says, you know what, now it's about time, I need to straighten up. I don't know when the call will come from Allah Ta'ala. And at that point, anybody wants, you ask anybody, he's waiting on the death row. He knows now, ask ka mehman, today, tomorrow, I have to go. He's getting some signs that he has to leave. So at that time, what does your mind tell you? Your mind tells you this, that, you know, it's a transition, I have to move from one realm to another realm. From one place to another place, right? Totally different, alien, absolutely different. So I have to move from this realm to the other realm, but I want a very, very smooth transition. I want it so well that I must be looking forward to going on that end, and on the people on that end must receive me also with warmth and with respect. So I want this to happen. And I ask you, is there anything impossible for Allah Ta'ala? One person had a dream that Nabi Sam is waiting. So he went to meet up with Nabi Sam, Ya Rasulullah, what are you waiting for? He says, I'm waiting for the Amirul Mu'minin, Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi. His eyes open, and just to hear the news that Imam Bukhari rahmatullah had passed away. See, but what a beautiful end. We have to go that way. And if it is that Nabi Sam is your host to receive you on that end, I ask you, any amount of sacrifice, any amount of sacrifice is too much. Is it too much? No. Any amount of sacrifice is less. If you know and you're sure, and that's on that side, this side you're going to be received, you won the whole game. No matter what pains you went through, what difficulties, what constraints, what stress you went through, but you landed safely. You've been received with respect. You receive with muhabbat, with affection. Here, when we arrive at the arrivals in the airport, any airport, reading Durood Sharif, and so, you know, they take us nicely. They mustn't find anything that is not right, or paperwork must be right. We don't want any type of a delay, right? But just come out, in, out, right? And if they have a delay for 2 hours, how do you feel? You feel like a real criminal. And if they delay you for 2 days, then say, bye. Make dua, something must happen to me. How miserable don't you feel? But if you are delayed in the customs by Allah Ta'ala, in the arrivals with Allah Ta'ala, then it's not a delay for 1 day, 2 days. Sometimes it's a month, sometimes it's 2 months, sometimes it's a year. Imagine the embarrassment, the disgrace, the discomfort, the problem that you've got. So you want it smooth on that way. You know, here, right, become a little bit hot, we are comparing aircon, we need to do something about it. Right. Lights, we need something. If the food is not on time, we've got a problem, right? If the surroundings are not right, we feel uncomfortable. I ask you, in the house of Allah Ta'ala, what arrangements have we made for the cover, for the aircon inside the cover? The food arrangements in the cover, the light in the cover, the companionship in the cover, what arrangements? And we all know it's a reality. Going to the Qabristan, but we'll act so casual as though we're not going to die. He's died now because he was not dieting, man. He wasn't looking after himself, so he had to die. He had to die now. Me also pull on. I'm dieting, I'm gymming, I'm doing all he says. I'm going to pull it on. I'm a fighter. That's how you think. We forget the point that everything by Allah Ta'ala, لِكُلِّ أَجَلٍ مُسْتَقَرٍ, everything is decreed. Death, life, health, discomfort, comfort, everything is decreed. There is even a thing that is not decreed. لِكُلِّ أَمْرٍ مُسْتَقَرٍ, everything is decreed. So, what we would like that when we are coming to the arrivals in the hereafter, then we want the type of salute. يَا أَيَّتُهَا النَّفْسُ الْمُطْمَئِنَّةِ اِرْجِعِي إِلَىٰ رَبِّكِ رَاضِيَةً مَرْضِيَةً. Soul that was compliant, that was obedient, compliant, and listening, come in, you are happy, and we are happy for you. Come, we give you all the embrace. We've been missing you. Allah, see, we open up the whole Jannah for you. Look and see and enjoy for yourself. And in that ecstasy, your soul is just taken. It's taken with such ecstasy, Imam Muhammad rahmatullahi alayhi, leading student of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi. So, someone saw him after he passed on. So said, how did it fare with you? He said, I don't know anything. I was looking up for some masla, I had one fatwa. So I was looking up deep into the kitab, so something about slavery, you know, freeing of slaves. So I was checking on. And the next moment I saw I was in Jannat already. I was looking into a kitab, the next moment I saw myself in Jannat. Now I'm asking the malaika that around, but you know, I hear that I'm dead now, I've gone from this realm to the next realm. But there was a procedure that you got the munkar naki, they must come and interrogate you, and after that the doors of Jannat will open up for you. But I didn't go through the processes, I went straight to Jannah, how it happened? So the reply came from Allah Ta'ala, O Muhammad, had we wished to punish you, then we would have blessed you with knowledge and the ability to serve Deen. We wouldn't have blessed you like this. Because we wanted to honor you, therefore we blessed you with knowledge and the ability to serve Deen, and therefore we bypassed the whole system for you. The whole system was bypassed, you went straight. So after analyzing the entire life, whatever we learned and whatever we earned, whatever, this is what is every Muslim's dream, that the transition to the next realm must be too comfortable, too enjoyable. So anyway, talking about this person, so he went up to the Sheikh, so the Sheikh said, you know what, you make istikhara. Make istikhara and then we'll see after that. So the Sheikh said, now sometimes the person can become emotional, and in that emotionalism he just makes a commitment. And later on he discovers that he's not committed. He didn't understand it fully. So he wants him to understand it nicely and then make a commitment. Because if you understood something properly and then you make a commitment, then you will remain. But he just made an impulsive commitment. Then you begin to have a fear, say, I make this commitment, I can't stand up to it. So anyway, so the Sheikh says to him, all right, you go and make istikhara. So he comes after about 4 or 5 hours, And he says to the Shaykh, I've done my istikhara. He says, Shaykh says, but yeh to ajeeb kisam ka istikhara. This is a very strange first time hearing of this type of istikhara. Just out of five hours you come back. Istikhara we hear, now a person make some istikhara dua, he slept one night, the second night, third night. After five or six nights, they come and give a detailed report. This one is a very strange type of istikhara that you made. In 5 hours, you got the answers all ready for me. So, what did you do exactly? So, he says, I went into seclusion and began to ask myself. But you're taking bayat, you know, you're committing yourself on someone else's hands, giving the oath of allegiance. Then, what do you want out of this? He says, no, I want Allah Ta'ala out of this. So that there's a war that is taking place inside the mind. Alright, but you know, you're going to enslave yourself because now you have to report to the person, talk to him, make a commitment, what you've been doing, he'll instruct you, then you have to follow. Now you're enjoying life, you are free, then why do you bond yourself? Why do you tie yourself? You're enjoying a free life, so what's the need to bond yourself? Like as you're sending a child to school, I'm free now, but why must I go to school? Now the parent can see what the child can't see. So the Shaykh can see what the individual can't see. That without the binding, without tying yourself, you can't reach. You want to go for Hajj, you have to tie yourself to the plane, you can't move out, you can't jump off. For the duration, you have to just keep yourself stuck. Lose your freedom. Can't move on as you want. You'll have to keep yourself within the confines. After a period of time, now you've reached your destination. So the same exactly, you have to keep yourself under some type of bonds, some type of shackles. That's life all about. You want good health, keep yourself under some shackles. Eat this, don't eat this. You can't. There is no such thing like total freedom in this world. Total freedom, complete freedom is the next world. Yeah, nobody enjoys absolute, complete, full freedom. There is some restriction or the other. Be it the king or the pauper, but there is a restriction. So, he's not telling him, you know, but you are free, you're born free, why did you tie yourself up? So the reasoning and the counter reasoning is going within his mind, so his mind tells him, right, I will tie myself, but I will get Allah Ta'ala. In the process of this whole effort, I will get Allah Ta'ala. So his mind tells him, alright, but what is the guarantee that you will get Allah Ta'ala? So he says to his mind, if I don't get Allah Ta'ala, at least Allah Ta'ala will get to know that I tried to come up to him. I made an effort to come up to him. And that was within my volition. My control was, I needed to try. That was within my power. And to accept, and to embrace me with acceptance, that's yours, Allah Ta'ala. But at least I can have something to present before Allah Ta'ala, that Allah Ta'ala, I did try to reach up to you. We ask ourselves, Ibrahim alayhi salam was instructed to slaughter his son, right? Ismail al-Islam. But I ask anybody that is seated here, that did he end up slaughtering his child? Did he end up slaughtering his child? You say, no, he didn't end up. But Allah Ta'ala says, قَدْ صَدَّقْتَ الرُّؤْيَا وَنَادَيْنَاهُ أَيَّا إِبْرَاهِيمُ قَدْ صَدَّقْتَ الرُّؤْيَا. Oh Ibrahim, you made the dream come true. Because you tried everything that was within your power. But we stopped that knife from working. We stopped it. But what was within your power, we have done. So therefore, we will bless you, we will honor you, and we will inaugurate this day. To the rest of time, people will be sacrificing, following your sunnah. So he did what was within his volition, within his choice. Allah Ta'ala endorsed that work, accepted him. So our work, this is our work, that we keep trying. And don't get into the network of shaitan, and begin to ask ourselves, oh, if I do this, what's going to happen? Will I get it? Not get it? But at least Allah Ta'ala will know that you did try, and Allah Ta'ala will look at you favorably. So this is one obstruction that we have. I showed one obstruction. The second obstruction is the media. Right? This is the second obstruction that we are faced with, mental challenges, mind over matter. Keeps arguing, arguing, counter-arguing. And the only way that was successful and effective from time immemorial till now is linking up. Because the Sahaba Ikram also linked up, and thereafter the Tabi'in also linked up, and after the Tabi'in also linked up, we hear of Imam Bukhari Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, and his name flourishes throughout the universe. But then how did he flourish? Did we ask ourselves? His Ustad Ishaq ibn Rahawi, rahimahullah, he says, I would like someone to prepare kitabs for all authentic reports of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Imam Bukhari says, I'll do it. So he took the instruction, the cue from his teacher. Today Allah allowed his name to flourish throughout the world, even after 12 centuries, 13 sub-centuries approximately, Allah allowed it. So this silsila, this chain is not something recent, it is from above. That you take the cue, and the people in the past also, they took the cue from the people above them, and so forth and so on, their life flourished. So, one is the mental challenges that we have, one is the media and the education process that our child goes through, that smashes him down, that suppresses his mind from thinking correctly, right? Sometimes it is the greed for, not greed, don't call it greed, but the overconfidence that we have on wealth. Wealth, no, I'm so powerful. So we're overconfident. And that becomes an obstruction on the path. Fariduddin Attar, rahmatullah alayhi. So they speak about him. He had swam the seven oceans of love, so deep into the love of Allah Ta'ala. The other great awliya, they feel that we are still in the first ocean. And he's gone across the seventh ocean. So he was a very wealthy person, extremely wealthy person. We're talking of a person now over 8 or 9 centuries away. Very wealthy person, pharmacy. And he's got original stuff. And musk original, wood original, and this is what he has been stocking in his pharmacy. The original stuff, they are very expensive, very, very expensive. His whole shop is filled with this. In the meanwhile, a person, shabby looking, tattered clothing, he pulls into the shop and he's looking from one end to the other end, goes on looking from one side of the shop to the other side. So Fariduddin is the owner of the shop. He says to him, bhai, kush lena ho to le jao, warna nikal jao dukan se. You need to take something, make a purchase, make the purchase, otherwise, bhai, carry on. Nahi kuch dekh raha, I'm looking at. What are you looking at? She said, I'm looking at this. See, the stuff that you've got, this is 2 million, this is 5 million, this is 10 million, right? I'm wondering, how is your soul going to depart? Because your soul is stuck up in all these things here. Sometimes it's stuck up in the musk, sometimes in the oud, sometimes in that commodity, sometimes it's stuck up in this property, sometimes it's stuck up in that property. It's so deep. So, what a difficult task will it be for your root to be pulled off from all these things here. It's so deeply involved. You don't want to part from it. And then when it is the time for departure, you'll have to be departing. So your root will have to be forced out. So what a difficult moment will that be? So Fariduddin says that I was still angry with this person. What is he doing? He's coming to advise me like this in such an abrupt way. So he says to this faqir that came up to the shop, he says, well, my soul will depart like how your soul will depart. In that anger, he says to you. So, alright, you want to know how my soul will depart? So, he just opened out his mat, performed 2 rakat namaz, and then he faced towards the Qibla, and he declared, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, and straight away he was gone to Allah Ta'ala. So, that was a practical lesson, practical demonstration. You know, in the maktab nowadays, we get the children to do practical wuzu. Practical namaz. It's a very good way to get the student working, right? Practice. They're doing it first when you're seeing it, how they're doing it. Every posture of this is examined, every recitation, every zikr, every tasbih is heard, so you know he's doing it well. So this person here, he taught me the lesson of life, but practically, he showed me what is life all about. No, I can't carry on. And he just turned a leaf. And there, where he was a man of wealth, now he became a wealthy person in the friendship of Allah Ta'ala. Wealth of the friendship, wealth of love. There must have been something that he tasted at that moment, that no, I tasted the world, I've seen everything, but this wealth of love, I haven't tasted this, I haven't tried this out, let me try this out. So this is the third obstruction that's on the way. We spoke about first the mental, right, then media, right? Then wealth, right? Obsession of wealth, and the overconfidence that we have, and this will see me through, right? So that's the third obstruction that's on the way, it falls away. It's like a distraction, obstructs you. Right? Now the other five obstructions of the way, some other time inshallah, I have the time, you have the time inshallah, we'll discuss the other obstructions that come to spoil your way, to misguide you, to mislead you, to confuse and complicate you. Allah Ta'ala grant us all tawfiq. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala Rasulil Kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم تب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم صلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين.